When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome into the lounge presented by DraftKings. It is self-evaluation time, Garrett, okay? Every year we make our season predictions. And because we're two outstanding journalists, we hold ourselves accountable, right? It's all about accountability around here.
That's what everyone's going through. You know, every team that's not in the Super Bowl, that's not in the conference championship, is taking a hard look at themselves and saying, what do we need to do to get better? And we are doing the same.
And there's a lot that we can do to get better. Just as a preview here, we have a long way to go, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the Ravens talk about how they feel like they're not that far off from building a champion. We're pretty far off from being champions. I'll just let you know right now, okay?
You know, I think, and
we're in rebuild mode.
Yeah,
on our predictions.
I think, and we'll get into all of this, but I guess at a big picture level to start off the conversation, this season played out in a lot of weird ways, and I think honestly, and I'm setting the stage here to make the excuse, right?
Yeah,
off the
bat. Of course. Excuse off the top.
But it really did play out in a lot of weird ways. Of course, Lamar missed the end of the season, so you know that threw off any kind of stat predictions for him. I think.
Bateman.
When you look at the receiving core, Bateman's injury was monumental. Devin Duvernay's injury was significant. Yeah. And then the running backs, like,
JK
we knew
had
it was
going to
take
procedure.
A little while, but, like, you don't necessarily assume that, like, okay, JK is going to get a scope in the middle of the season.
Right.
Or those are all just, like, you're kind of guessing as to when these guys get back and at what level they are once they do return.
We can never predict injuries. We were predicting we had to make guesses on these guys that were returning from the previous year's injuries and what level they would be at and you know, whether they'd be eased into action, when they would come back, you know, all those things we were factoring in. But then season injuries that happen during the season, you can never predict.
Yeah.
So that, of course, throws things off. But, you know, I'm not making any excuses. So, you know, I still calculated those guys what they were on pace for before their injuries to see if we were on the right scent. Were we on track or were we not way off? All right. So let's start with the offense. And Lamar was obviously somebody that we were, you know, talking a lot about and what his year would look like. You know, we predicted a big year for Lamar.
Yeah.
Right. And obviously, as we talked about, the injury impacted that. So I went with over 4,000 passing yards. Okay. You went with under 4,000 passing yards. You said 3,600. Okay. You called for a career high, said he'd have a career high of 420 passing attempts. He was below that pace.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Through 12 games. He was on pace before his injury. Now, this is including a partial Broncos game, so we didn't get a full 12 games there. He was on pace for 3,176 passing yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it looked like he was going to come under 4,000.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So
that's a win for me.
Well, you were closer. You were closer.
That's how it works.
You went under 4,000.
It's like Price is Right rules, right?
It's true. Doesn't matter how far off. You were under. I went over.
Yeah.
So you win that one.
Yeah,
correct. That's correct.
I mean, look, I think, honestly, any sort of, like, projection on Lamar and like what his season was going to be.
Yeah.
It's just left unknown. Like I do think he probably was going to come under 4,000. Like, but I just think that like when you miss like a third of the season or a quarter of the season, the way that he did, like it just didn't get the full evaluation of him this year.
I also think that the Bateman injury, like you said, was monumental. I think if Bateman hadn't gone down as early as he did, I mean, he first suffered the foot injury against the Bills, which was what, week 4. Right. And then he was kind of hobbling through it for a couple to a few games and then basically shut it down and said, I'm going to have the surgery.
Yeah.
Right. If that hadn't happened, I mean, if you take the first three games and look at Lamar's numbers, I didn't do this before starting this pod, but like he could have gone over 4,000 yards with those numbers projected. right?
Oh, you just pick.
So
pick
I'm pretty sure now I'm the winner.
You just pick the game. You know, if you take that Jets game, you just project that out the entire season.
I'm pretty sure I'm the winner. I'm just saying, like, yeah. The Bateman injury had a big ripple effect on this offense, and I think then ultimately, once he wasn't on the field at all, they pivoted the offense to being more of a run heavy. You know, like I said, his passing attempts were down from the previous year. They pivoted to being a more run heavy offense.
Yeah.
Once Bateman wasn't out there, because that was the personnel issue that they were facing.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think that was the wrong move to make. That's, you know, they were just short at wide receiver.
Yeah.
And so they pivoted, and that impacted Lamar's numbers. I think had everybody stayed healthy, it would have been over.
I think that it certainly could have. Like, I think that, I mean, as you just said, like, the Bateman injury just really changed the course of the offense in terms of the direction of it in certain ways.
I mean, I think we went into the season, I don't know if this is on tape, but I think we went into the season saying, if Bateman suffers a season-ending injury, it's going to be really hard for this offense to overcome. And that was true.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. And it just kind of, to your point, changes the type of offense, you know, to a certain degree.
Exactly. Like, they pivoted. Like,
now, they were never going to be a team that consistently threw the ball 40-plus times. That was never that was never in the cards. Certainly. But I think it shifted.
The big playability that we saw in the first 3 weeks from Bateman, the Jets, long Jets touchdown, the long slant for a touchdown against the Dolphins, like, you lost that ability to a large degree when he was not on the field.
Right. And then, of course, Lamar's numbers end up being much lower than expected because he got hurt.
Exactly, obviously. Rushing for Lamar, I said under 1,000 rushing yards. You also said under 1,000. You put him at 900 to 950. What's interesting is, so he had 764 yards through 12 games.
Mm-hmm.
He had only three fewer yards than last year, despite 112 attempts this year and 133 the year before. So he was averaging per carry more than a year ago, and in which he was on pace to rush for over 1,000 yards. I think if he had played out the season, he would have gone over 1,000 again.
I think he probably would have. I just think that, like, his rushing numbers, I think, can actually be sometimes really tough to predict because, like, you know,
you get some long runs.
All of a sudden, you have 180-yard run, and it's
Dolphins
like
touchdown,
and it just changes that number in a big way. But you can probably account for some, you know, maybe not 80 yarders, but you can account for some 20 to 30 yarders.
You can definitely account for some long runs in there from Lamar.
Yeah. I think he probably would have ended up going over 1,000.
Yep.
I agree.
So we both went under on that. So we both lost. Okay. All right. Leading pass catcher, yards, receptions, touchdowns. We both predicted a clean sweep for Mark Andrews. And ding, 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 we were correct on that.
I thought you said that these weren't good predictions. And then... Now I'm just...
I'm feeling a little bit better now that we're talking.
I'm just nailing these predictions.
I'm feeling a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is exactly like... I don't know. We didn't go out on a limb here by saying that Mark Andrews was going to lead the team in catches, yards, and touchdowns.
Well, he could have said Bateman at the beginning of the year, but yeah, sure. Yes.
I mean, Mark was coming off a career year.
Exactly.
He had 847 receiving yards this year. Did take a step back from where he was in 2021.
Right.
But still was the clear passing weapon in this offense.
Receiving weapon.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, like, with Mark, you talk about injuries. Like, he battled through injuries this year as well. Like, you know, it was a grind for him at times. He didn't play the last game of the regular season. So, you know, we both predicted over 1,000 receiving yards for him.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the 1,000 to 1,200. That's what I said, 1,000 to 1,200. Yep. You were in that same range.
I said exactly 1,176. Because you really nailed me down.
Well, that's the thing with you. I got to put you down. I really got to force you to take a position.
That's correct.
So you did on this one.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, if he plays out the whole season, maybe he ends up getting over 1,000. I mean, he missed two games, and he was banged up at times.
Right.
So, like, I think that, like,
I don't think Mark's numbers were a reflection of Mark. You know, like, I think, like, he got open a fair amount, and didn't get the ball. And, you know, obviously, again, the Bateman injury only made it harder for him to get open because so many people, there was so much attention put on Mark, right? So that was another, as I talk about the ripple effects of the Bateman injury, like, once Bateman went down and the Ravens are shorthanded wide receiver, then it was clearly Mark was the top receiving weapon. And so he saw a lot of double teams. He saw just a lot of different coverages also. And he, like you said, battled through injuries. So that, I think that all impacted Mark.
Yeah, and he missed two games, and he played five games without Lamar. So, like, all of that is a factor. I still think that, like, even though, like, it wasn't at the historic levels of where he was last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it still was a really good season for Mark Andrews.
One thing that I told this to Mark that should not be overlooked is what he did as a blocker. As we talked about the pivot to more of a run game, Mark Andrews was a big part of that. And like, he has steadily improved as a blocker, and I thought he had his best blocking year yet. And that should not be ignored. Like, mm-hmm. I know that he's a premier receiving weapon, and that stuff's all sexier, way sexier than blocking, but he had a very strong year as a blocker.
I mean,
we don't predict that. We don't, in the season predictions, we don't say at what level of blocking, but I'm just saying that should be noted.
I mean, I think with Mark, like, he is really rounded into an all-around tight end.
Yeah.
I mean, and like, he's one of the highest paid tight ends in the league, so you expect that. But like, I think certain guys like George Kittle gets a lot of praise for his blocking ability.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark Andrews has come a long way in that department. Yep. And I think he's one of the better blocking tight ends to go along with his ability as a receiver, where he's obviously one of the best receiving tight ends in the game. He's just one of the best tight ends in the game, period. Numbers weren't as high this year, but it's still a really good season for him.
So Rashad Bateman, obviously we already talked about his injury. Finished with 285 receiving yards. I predicted over 1,000 receiving yards. You were slightly under.
I mean,
you said around 970 catches and 5 touches. So yeah,
who knows?
Exactly.
He
was off to a hot start. He was off to a good start. I think it would have been a big year. I'm going to say I was right on that. Over 1,000. You factor in the quick start. He was definitely going to go over 1,000.
I think
what we saw.
Here's the thing on Bateman. I think that it's going to be really interesting looking forward here. Like, John Harbaugh said at the season review press conference that Bateman is close to running full speed again,
mm-hmm.
which I thought was like huge. I know we mentioned this in the season review podcast where he broke down some of the big storylines from that presser.
Yep.
But like, I thought that was really big because that Lisfranc injury is one that can linger. And like, that happened with Jimmy Smith, that happened with Hollywood Brown, where like, it can just be one that lingers. On the flip side of it, now I don't know how, you know, what he would say, but like Travis Etienne is an example. He had a Lisfranc last year for Jacksonville, mm-hmm. and he looked excellent this year.
Well, especially later in the year.
Especially later in the season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, so it's not necessarily like, I know that like Jimmy,
you don't just like erase the following year.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Like, and like, he got
And Hollywood didn't have a bad rookie year. I know he said that he wasn't full speed, that he wasn't mm-hmm. fully himself, but Hollywood had a pretty good rookie year.
And his happened at the end of the season.
Exactly.
Like, Bateman's was in the middle of the season when he got the surgery.
I think that makes a big difference.
And so that makes a big difference. Etienne's was at the very beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is a piece of the equation. But like, no one here is writing off Rashad Bateman.
Yeah. No, certainly not. I expect that when we do this season predictions podcast, you know, in whatever, 8 months from now, like, we will be saying, you know what? Like, Bateman looks good. We'll probably be, this is already the preview. Yeah. We'll be like,
this became a season review to a season prediction podcast.
Yeah, we'll be saying, like, Bateman looks good in training camp. Like, he looks good. I think he's going to go for, you know, close to 1,000 yards or whatever we're going to say. You know?
Like, I think, honestly, my guess on that is that like there will just be uncertainty, kind of like there was, maybe not to this level, but like there was with a JK or a
Marcus Peters
or Gus. Yeah. It's like, when exactly is he going to feel 100%? I think that there's probably going to be questions on that front. And that
fact that he's running already tells
really
you that like he should have time to, you know, he should get practices in training camp. You would hope that he's like ready to go full tilt at training camp.
And I'll
like,
tell
that gives you hope.
And I felt bad for Bateman on a personal level, because like he really viewed like this was his opportunity. Like this year, he felt like after the Hollywood Brown trade, he's a first round pick.
He's
the team invested
one guy,
in me.
Clear.
Like they feel confident trading away, you know, the number one receiver and letting me step into that role.
Right.
And he was really fired up about that. So I just feel badly for him that it played out the way it did.
Right, and it remains to be seen what do the Ravens do this offseason in terms of wide receiver. I think they're certainly, they made it clear that they want to add more talent to that room. And you know, do they go after a big name guy in mm-hmm. free agency or the trade market? Do they draft another first round wide receiver? You know, I think there will be more guys who will, the wealth will be spread more next season. That whereas this year, going into the year, it was like Bateman's the clear, he's going to get 120 targets, like clear number one. You know, I think that it'll be, there will be more of a 1-2 punch at wide receiver next year.
Yeah, I don't think that it'll be like all eggs in the Bateman basket.
Exactly.
I think it'll be. Because, I mean, the other thing, too, is like Devin Duvernay is coming. Now, his injury was not to the same level, but like he's coming off an injury.
Right.
So, like, it's going to be Ravens said they're going to remake that room. It's going to be a new group. I think it's going to be a combination of veterans and young players. So, it'll be, you know, that's one of the biggest stories of the offseason for
this
team.
I'll give you credit. Okay, this was maybe your best hit of the preseason predictions.
I knew you were going to go there. I was thinking about this for much of the season.
The third leading receiver, because we said Mark and Bate will be 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. Really, it was a bigger question of who's going to be the number 3 guy.
Yeah,
that was a tougher one. And you said you went out on a limb, is how you even put it, and you guessed DeMarcus Robinson. And good sir, you were correct. I want to shake your hand.
Yes.
Good handshake. You got one, all right? You got one. 458 yards for DeMarcus Robinson, was the third leading receiver. I predicted Isaiah Likely. I said he'd have around 650 yards. He finished at 373.
Yeah. I mean, honestly.
So there you go.
I think I was riding the high of DeMarcus's big
preseason
play.
Game. It was a preseason game. That is what you were doing.
And I was like, this guy looks pretty good. By the way, that sluggo move that he hit in the playoffs was the same one that he hit in that preseason game.
Exactly.
And so we got to see it later.
I told him in the locker room at one point during the season, I was like, I'm waiting for that move for you to bust that out. He was like, you keep watching. It's coming. It's coming.
It came at a good time.
It came. Yeah.
I DeMarcus is an interesting one because, like, as we talk about some of the, the shuffling at receiver, mm-hmm. Do the Ravens bring him back?
He became the number one wide receiver after Bateman went down.
Yeah.
He eventually became the number one guy.
Yeah.
And, I thought he had a pretty good year. There were some drops and stuff. But, like, I think overall, when you step back and look at DeMarcus Robinson's year, pretty good.
The Ravens are not going to go into next season and say, all right, DeMarcus is our number one guy.
Right.
Like, they're going to, as we just said, they're going to add pieces here. Okay. But, like, could you bring him back as a depth piece and supplemental piece? Like, I thought he made some big plays and big moments.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he ends up back here and, can pull off some more of the sluggo moves. Yeah.
The interesting thing with Isaiah Likely, and, he was really the bell of the ball in training camp in the preseason.
So you were riding the high.
I was definitely riding the high.
Yeah.
And I thought that they would do more with, like, the two wide receiver, three wide receiver, he and Mark working in tandem. And really, Isaiah's biggest games were when Mark wasn't on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Then he had huge games. New Orleans, the season ender, right? Bengals game.
Right.
Had a big game. The regular season ender. And so we never really saw the, like, pass heavy to the tight ends offense, Isaiah stepping into, like, a number three wide receiver role. That never really came to fruition as much as I expected it to.
Like, glimpses.
Glimpses.
There was glimpses.
Yeah, he just took over the Mark Andrews role when Mark wasn't there.
Right. Yeah, I think overall, like, you feel, in terms of Isaiah Likely season, like, you're encouraged. You're like, what? Like, this was a fourth-round pick out of Coastal Carolina. Like, you saw the potential, you saw the promise, and, like, this guy is going to be a quality pass-catching receiver here, moving forward.
Yep.
But I also think it, like, left a little to be desired. It's, like, strangely, like, all right, you're encouraged and feel like there's a little bit more on the bone.
There's more meat there.
Yeah.
For sure. All right, so let's go over to the defense. The sack leader, okay? We said both this was, quote, an easy call. We went with Odafe Owe,
mm-hmm.
who was another guy who was just tearing it up in training camp practices. We both said, I said right at 10, you said over double digit sacks for him. He finished with 3 sacks.
Yeah.
Had one of his, maybe his arguably his best game in the playoffs,
mm-hmm.
finished with a bang, but it wasn't the season that we imagined for Odafe.
Yeah. I mean, Odafe would be the first to say, like, he's not happy with the number, this year. I think that, like, it was in some ways a frustrating season for him. I think that he had moments where he was close and just, guy gets out of his grasp or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, he's going to be looking, in locker cleanout, when he was asked about kind of looking back on a season, like, he said consistency is really what he's going to focus on this offseason and developing more consistency. And so this is going to be a big year for him. Mm-hmm. His third season is going to be a really big year for him. So, I thought we saw that potential as a rookie, and I think a lot of people felt like this was going to be, like, maybe a jump to stardom year for him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we both felt like this is going to be a big year for him.
I think Peter King put him on his defensive player of the year watch, which is turning into the kiss of death.
Yeah.
Peter, I don't want to see any Ravens on that list next year, Peter King.
Yeah. So I think, like, this, like I said, this will be a big year for him, and we weren't the only ones that
certainly
over projected, like, what we were going to see from him this year.
Yeah, yeah, correct.
Where we missed, and everybody also missed, was on Justin Houston getting 9.5.
That's for sure. That is definitely for sure. That's not entirely. We did say we predicted, quote, an uptick from last year.
He had more than an uptick.
So, 9.5 sacks. was a great year for Justin Houston. Yeah. I think we're bullish guys. We're optimistic guys. Yeah. Me more than you. You know, I'm just optimistic. You're a Debbie Downer sometimes.
No.
Downing Downer. but I predicted one more sack than you did on David Ojabo. You said 3 to 4. He didn't get on the field as much as I think we anticipated. Got one sack. Tyus Bowser, we both predicted 5 sacks. He ended up with 2.
Also, guy that got on the field later than expected. Like, I kind of thought
I agree.
I was like, you know, when we were doing this, I was like, oh, he might be out there like in the next week or two. Ended up kind of coming back midseason.
Yep.
So that's a win for us.
Yeah, win.
Yeah.
interceptions. You made the good, it was a good, solid joke. Let's roll that joke.
All right. Interception leader. Okay. So always going to be getting after the quarterback. Yeah. Who's coming down with the interceptions? I'll tell you who it is. It's going to be Marcus.
I think it's also, wait. You tricky Ricky. I didn't get that one immediately.
Yeah.
Well done, sir.
Yes.
Wow. On little sleep.
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
I'm still sharp.
Still sharp. All right, that was pretty good. The Marcus joke?
Yes.
You predicted the Marcus.
I was correct.
You were correct. But the wrong Marcus.
Uh-huh.
We both said Marcus Peters. We predicted. I predicted 5 interceptions. Marcus Williams led the team with 4 picks in 10 games.
Again, you know, Marcus Peters, you know, I think that, like, he, you know, Marcus doesn't really talk to the media. He did the one interview with The Ringer.
Yeah.
And that was where, you know, he admitted, like, basically, it's been kind of a challenge. It was a challenge this year coming back and like dealing with like the mental side of it and the self doubt, but also the physical side of like not totally feeling like yourself. I think we saw that a little bit this year.
Yep.
And it wasn't able to make the plays. You know, Marcus Williams, like, you got to feel really good about that signing. Now, he broke his hand and missed the wrist or whatever and missed a good portion of time. Still ended up with 4 interceptions. 3 of them came in the first 4 games. So, like, when you have 3 of the first 4 games, you're thinking, like, this guy going to get, like, double digits?
Right,
you know,
right,
how high
right,
are we going
right,
to go here?
Right.
And then only 1 the rest of the way, of course, the injury being the biggest factor there.
Yeah.
But
really good season, though. I mean, when you look at the Dolphins game was the outlier, right, for big plays getting hit over the top. And, you know, that was... You know, Kyle Hamilton talked about that, you know, that he kind of had some mental errors on that or whatever. That wasn't really Marcus Williams, right? But outside of that, the Ravens, I think, led the league in fewest 20-plus yard touchdowns allowed. Like, they did not give up many big plays through the air. And Marcus Williams, I don't think, probably got enough credit for that, as much credit as he deserves. Like, the Ravens, and especially when you look at the Bengals, the 3 games against the Bengals, they did not hit big plays on the Ravens.
Yeah.
You know, and so Marcus Williams was a big part of that. And, you know, the interceptions obviously would have been higher had he not gotten injured. But I just think the impact he made was pretty big.
Can we just do a little side note, you know, borderline rant? Not rant, but discussion. Like, I'm sure a lot of Ravens fans watched the game this weekend. You know, as long as it wasn't too painful to watch NFL football this weekend.
Yeah.
And you watch
Bills Bengals.
You watch Bills Bengals, and probably most Ravens fans, I'm going to guess, are rooting for the Bills. But when you watch like the Bengals and the ease at which they marched up and down the field in that game for a lot of it in tough conditions,
it made
me, and I think probably a lot of Ravens fans, further appreciate how good of a job the Ravens defense did against the Bengals this year, all 3 games.
Yep.
Including the last 2 games where they played with their 3rd-string quarterback and then their 2nd-string quarterback. They took them to the absolute brink, and they had a fluky play, a 98-yard fumble recovery touchdown that flipped the game, 14-point swing, and was the difference.
Yep.
Like, if the Ravens score there, who knows what happens, but I think they have a pretty good chance to win that game. And it just made me feel both better and worse. You just feel like this Ravens team, this defense was great, and we saw it last week, and I wish they were still playing. But it also made you feel worse. You know, like, they're not far off, but they also aren't still playing. It's like,
this goes back to my argument, and I argue this all the time. People like you always push back against me, and the conversation for it felt like the second half of the season with the Ravens was, are they good enough to beat the Bills or the Chiefs in the playoffs, right?
And or the Bengals.
And a bunch of people were like, no. They're not. The offense isn't good enough, blah, blah, blah. You can't win with this formula, blah, blah. And I kept being like, you can. you can win with this formula. You never know. I'm a you never know until, you know, you get in the playoffs and you never know kind of guy. And this is another, you're making my point. You're making my case for me, right? Because, look, okay, if you were one of the worst teams in the league, sure, and you get to the playoffs, then, you know, you're going to lose that game 90 times out of 100, right? Mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, whatever, right? But if you're, it's like being in the same ballpark. Were the Ravens good enough to run with those teams? Yes. Absolutely. They almost beat him with their backup quarterback. Yes, they were good enough. And like on any given day, they could have beaten them, right? Like they were good enough. We've seen that. And it's people like you who always say otherwise.
Well, I think it's kind of funny that like you're making your case like I was right by the fact that it didn't turn out right, but I could have been right.
The possibility. Lamar Jackson, and like you're talking about, they should have beaten the Bengals. They should have beaten the Bengals, which then, obviously, by osmosis, means they would have beaten the Bills, right?
So it's now suddenly a size them up. I mean, we size them up.
Bills, we would have been the Chiefs, so we would have beaten the Chiefs too, because the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season. So boom, right? Done. By osmosis, we also beat the Chiefs. And then we win the Super Bowl, because why not? Size them up.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I know you're just being a little bit facetious there.
Facetious
there. But like, I'm not going that far. I'm just saying I don't think that the Ravens, like when John Harbaugh and Eric Acosta talked, they feel like they're not far off from being a championship level team.
Yeah,
they made that point, and I agree with that. I agree with that. But they're not there. They're not there yet. And there's like things that they need are looking to do this offseason to get to that level.
Yeah, of course.
But I think that like
that's every team.
Close. I really think that they're close, and I think that watching that Bengals-Bills game was a reminder of that, and like it was particularly a reminder on the defensive side of how good this Ravens defense was at the end of the year. And one of the things that like really just bothers me about the season is like things like people talk about getting hot at the right time and coming together at the end of the season. I think in a lot of ways the Ravens were doing that.
The defense,
like,
the
absence of the quarterback.
Right.
I mean run game came together. The defense was playing great.
Yep.
And you didn't have your quarterback.
Yep.
And I think that, like, that it's the most important position in football, and to not have that is
the guy biggest. That the entire offense is built around.
Right. So, like, everything basically kind of came matters. Together at the end of the year,
yeah.
With the exception of the most important piece.
Exactly.
And that's what part of the biggest frustration is I look back at the season. All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll go back in and look at some of these predictions from the start of the year. All right, even though the season's over, Mank, the sports landscape is always changing. This week is still no different. DraftKings is a leader in daily fantasy sports, and it still does have daily fantasy contests running for those who are looking to have some skin in the game. It's simple. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. You assemble a lineup of players. You try to stay under the salary cap, and then you sit back and watch your points pile up. So go ahead and sign up today on the DraftKings app. You sign up using the code FLOCK. And you'll get a free entry with your first deposit if you're a new user. Again, the code is FLOCK, and you can sign up at DraftKings. Also, we want to make sure listeners know, if you haven't done this in a while, this is a little reminder here. Make sure that you rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Mm-hmm. You know, we're thirsty for those likes, so go ahead and rate, review.
Come on. It's a social media world.
Yeah, exactly. Make sure you do that. And you can always email us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. Very soon here, very soon. We have a helmet here that's been signed by every player who did the lounge this year. So we are going to be giving that away to somebody who emailed the show at some point during the season. We'll put all those names into a hat. We'll pull out a name from the hat on the podcast, and someone is going to get a helmet signed by a bunch
pretty
of guys.
Cool. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump back into it. One that we did pretty well on was our prediction of the stat line for Kyle Hamilton, in which I said, deuces were wild. Two interceptions, two sacks, two forced fumbles, two fumble recoveries. And I specifically said it would be splash plays. Kind of he'd make splash plays here and there during the course of the year that would really kind of like a Patrick Queen rookie year.
Yeah.
Let's play the clip from that.
How about Kyle Hamilton, the rookie first rounder? What do you think the stat line is for that 14th overall pick?
I think that Kyle Hamilton ends up with probably around, I'll say, two interceptions, two sacks, two forced fumbles. How many more twos can I do? Two fumble recoveries, two safeties. Yeah, I think that it's going to be a wide range. I think it's going to be kind of like Patrick Queen's rookie season, where he just had like made some splash plays in various different ways throughout the course of the season. And I think that's going to be kind of Kyle Hamilton's rookie year.
I have him around 60 tackles.
I would probably say it's about right.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're pretty close on this.
Yeah.
Okay. Finished with 2 sacks. As I predicted, you said 1 sack.
I was way off. Okay.
Way off. What? You're in left field. Uh-huh. 1 forced fumble. You said around 60 tackles, finished with 62. So well done, sir.
I mean, you can't get any better.
Way off. Way off.
You led this podcast by talking about how we were off on things. I think we kind of were not. I think we nailed this in a lot of ways, but go ahead.
We were okay.
We nailed this.
So not bad. Pretty good on Kyle Hamilton. Okay. All right, this was a good conversation that we had for a while. The breakout player, which is always a good one, okay? I said likely, you know, since I predicted he would be the number 3 guy. That was kind of the easy pick, right? But then I pivoted and kind of said, you know what? Devin Duvernay, okay, as an offensive piece.
And then I made fun of you because I was like, he was a Pro Bowler last
year. Exactly, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah, play that clip.
Who do you got as your breakout player?
Okay,
and this is for the listeners who've been, you know, listening to the podcast.
Here we go.
Mink always goes with like a guy who's broken out. He's like Marcus Peters. He's going to be a breakout player this year. Look out for him. He's going to be really good.
Can it be a rookie?
Sure. You can't. Can you say
Isaiah Likely? I mean, that's
that would be the natural one.
That's the slam dunk.
That is the slam dunk.
Yeah, I'm going Isaiah Likely. I think that. All right. If it's not Likely, I'll go with Duvernay.
The Pro Bowler who's gone to a Pro Bowl.
As a special teamer.
He's been at the Pro Bowl and he's got a breakout this year.
He's got
that jersey with the stars on it, you know, and he's going to have a breakout season. All right.
As a offensive player, as a receiver, I'll go Duvernay. So, but I think I was right on this. Offensive, like, especially the first half of the year.
You still deserve to get made fun of for predicting that a Pro Bowler is going to be a breakout player.
First half of the year, though, I was right for offense. He was definitely an offensive breakout player. Like, I think that we did the midseason awards, and it was, like, offensive. He was getting a lot of love for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I was on the scent there. And really, what was even better was later on I said a deep dive breakout player of the year, defensively, Broderick Washington.
That's a good one.
That was a hit. That was a major hit.
That's well done. Yeah, I went with Likely.
You said Pepe.
Well, I said, what about him? I just asked the question.
You threw it out there pretty strongly.
I just asked the question. I said Likely, and I think it's a borderline breakout year for Likely. It was a borderline breakout year. Had a big game in prime time, big game in prime time against the Bucks. I think it's a borderline breakout player. All right, so let's go to the overall rankings, okay? Offense-defense ranking. So the Ravens finished 16th on offense, this is in total yards, and 9th on defense.
Yep.
You said 7th on offense, top 5 for defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're a top 2 after Roquan. I didn't know about the Roquan trade.
You're factoring that in. Yeah, that's why you said top 5.
Yeah.
So you're like,
well, they're top 2 second half of the year after Roquan, so yeah. I think I got it.
I said defense number 3. I knew that trade was going to happen.
Obviously.
So I factored that in.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. and then
you said top 10 offensive unit.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, Rashad. Lamar.
Yeah.
All those things.
Yeah, totally.
Dobbins, we were trying to predict, obviously coming off the knee, what he would be at. You know, we both said under 1,000 yards. We said, I said he would top his rookie production, which was 800-some yards. He's finished at 520. So we were a little, you know, we didn't predict a midseason scope.
Yeah.
That knocked him out for several games. He had a really strong year again.
That's what I think that, like, J.K. Dobbins, like, and I know that at the end of the season, like, a lot of the conversation was, you know, he was clearly frustrated in the locker room and said that I want to be the guy and basically I want to give me the ball in that situation and, you know, at the goal line and he wants to be featured more.
Yep.
And so, like, that kind of dominated most of the narrative and the discussion around him. But I think that, like, I don't want to overlook how good he was coming back from that scope injury or that scope procedure. And it just gives me a lot of confidence that, like, J.K. Dobbins can be the guy that, like, we all saw when he was a rookie.
Yep.
And, like, I just, if the podcast.
If you look at yards per carry average, like, it was right up there.
He was one of the best in the league at the end of the season.
Exactly.
And if I go back to, like, when we had him on the podcast, like, that interview with him was so, like, real and raw at certain times, and I really enjoyed it, if you haven't listened to it. But I think that, like, gives you a little bit of insight into, like, how he approached his injury and how, like, difficult it was.
Mm-hmm.
And to see him at a point now where you feel like, all right, like, this guy can be a dominant running back again. Like,
yeah.
I think that is really promising for this team.
I absolutely agree with that. I think next year when we're making these predictions, I'll be looking at over 1,000 yards for J.K. Dobbins.
I could
just put, should I stamp it right now?
You can't decide if this is, a look back episode or a look forward episode.
All right, to close this out, we predicted the final record. I think we originally said worst case scenario was 2 losses.
Yeah.
Worst case was 15-2. You know, it didn't quite play out like that.
Injuries.
Worst. We ended up having the worst injuries, right? Worst case scenario.
Yeah.
I went 12-5. You said 13-4. The Ravens finished at 10-7.
Right.
I think we were on pace, though.
We were on pace.
Lamar injury.
Yeah. No. I mean, I think that, like, I think as I look back at this season, it's kind of like I said how I felt in watching the games this weekend. I just felt like this team. Early in the year, you had a bunch of guys coming back from injuries, and it was not right. You know, it was just...
You lost some very close games, fourth quarter comebacks for the teams.
Some lost some kind of fluky games that you shouldn't have lost. The defense figures it out. It gets Roquan Smith. The offense, the run game comes together and is dominant at the end of the year. Then Lamar goes out, but the defense is great. And you just never felt like you got to see it all in unison. And that is what is, like, so frustrating.
You never
got to
see the Ravens at their full potential.
That's, to me, like, the story of this season in a lot of ways. And it's really frustrating that that's the case.
Were absolutely one of the best teams in the league. Like, our record predictions, 12-5, 13-4. That's one of the best teams in the league. I think that they were absolutely one of the best teams in the league this season.
Yeah, I think that, like, they are, you know, this is going to be the case for them for the foreseeable future here. The AFC is stacked.
Yeah.
And, like, you got, obviously, the Bills, Bengals, Chiefs. Mm-hmm. Right there at the top. Those are the top three.
Yep.
The Jaguars have suddenly entered into that conversation as being a team that's
Chargers
right there.
Chargers are talented.
And the Chargers are in that mix too. But, like, those are some juggernaut quarterbacks in particular and some great teams. And, like, the Ravens are in that mix, but I think as it stands right now, they're behind those top three. And, like, that's going to be where they need to – that's where they need to focus and, you know – They're going to be out to beat the Bengals and the Bills and the Chiefs next year.
Yep.
And to elevate to that status. Before we wrap up here, I did just want to get, you know, nothing has been announced and the process is still ongoing, but the offensive coordinator search is still underway.
Yep.
I just want to get, you know, kind of talk about that a little bit. I mean, my quick high-level take, I did a final drive on this week. Like, I like, they're talking to guys from – it's a big list. It is list of candidates.
John Harbaugh said he was going to cast a wide net, and he has, according to all the reports that are out there. I also think what's really interesting and what I like about John's process is it's not just an interview. It's not just about finding who the guy is going to be. It's also about learning. It's about, like, the sharing of ideas, right? And, like, he uses this time as a way to just get an infusion of new ideas and, like, pick people's brains who are – you know, some of the top considered people in the business, you know, offensive minds in the business. And, like, so I think that's part of the benefit of casting this wide net is, like, you're not just locking in on, I think this guy's really great, but, like, let's hear from a lot of different people. Even if we don't end up hiring them, like, it's just a good perspective to hear, right? Like, their ideas for offense. And it's just, he uses it as a tool, a multifaceted tool, I think, to improve.
Yeah, and I like that it's not just like, okay, we're only looking at pass game coordinators. We're only looking at run game coordinators. We're only looking at guys from the college level. They're looking across the board, and, like, internal, external. Like, I just like that, like, it doesn't seem like the theme is that it's a wide net and it's an exhaustive search.
Yeah.
It's not just like, oh, we want to find somebody to come in here and run a run heavy offense.
Mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
It's a very different collection of candidates in terms of experience. You know, Frank Reich is somebody who's reportedly firmly on the radar. This guy's been a head coach, offensive coordinator, a lot of success. You have guys who are quarterbacks coaches and, you know,
younger than me and you.
Yeah, you position coaches. And so, like, you have this collection of...
Well, maybe younger than me. Sorry, maybe not you.
Yeah, come on, man. Most of them are younger than you.
That might be the case.
So I just think that, like, it's a good process. We'll see where it lands. Curious to see how long it takes. As, you know, sometimes on these coaching searches, you know, like, can take till after the Super Bowl, potentially. Yeah. And so we'll see how long it takes.
Like I said before, I just like the way that John goes about these processes and has in years past. I think he does. He's a good hirer.
And I think that he got a great defensive coordinator last year, Mike McDonald. Yeah, and as exactly. We talked about the success of the defense over the course of the year, I think that was borne out.
Yep, totally. It's an opportunity to grow as an offense and really kind of takes people by surprise like they did in 2019 and really kind of evolve. Yep. And I think that it's, you know, it's always, change is always hard, but it can really kind of excite you and bring a new level of energy. And that's obviously what the Ravens hope for. So anyway, thank you for listening. What's our final grade on our
A+? A++.
You must be grading on a curve.
Yeah.
I don't know what curve you're grading on, but I like it, and I wish I had it. I wish I had it when I was in school. I'll give us a solid C.
Solid C.
It's just a solid,
like,
C.
Yeah, that's like your old report cards.
It's a passing grade. So anyway, thanks for listening. As always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net, and we'll be back with you next week.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Hey guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.